This is the Marketing Intern Spotlight, where we are committed to unlock how every marketing intern has an innate ability to be an entrepreneur, motivator, and influencer.
Welcome back to the Back Pocket Podcast, Steve Harrell.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Retired or still current? First ring producer. What would you title NASDAQ?
It's up in the air.
Yeah.
It's up in the air for sure.
I think he's still eligible to be first ring producer. But we, as our marketing interns knew from podcast one, Steve H. Harrell was our first ring producer. And he faded for a little bit. And
But he's always in our hearts.
Always.
He's always a part of the back pocket. But yeah, I think that's a great way to introduce Steve. He's one of our great friends, one of our great teammates. And when we first started this podcast a year and a half ago, roughly, Steve was our producer. And so that's why we have to interview you. And so welcome here, man, Steve. How you
Thanks.
Doing?
Yeah, I'd say a good way to describe it is just a little hiatus. You know, we've had some things, you know, you guys moving. We're farther away.
Exactly.
We don't see each other as much. So I think we're figuring out how to adjust. I think that's what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks here.
What I kind of want to touch on right away is the early stages of doing the podcast. Like, what did you think of? You were sitting in there for, because we were recording 3-hour long podcasts to start, and I was editing, chopping them down, like the first one. We were in there for so long. Remember the quiz we played and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
It was hilarious. But I'm like, from your perspective, what was, like, were you just like, what am I doing here? Or I'm just curious, and kind of like, what was your mindset during that?
The mindset was kind of, all right, my role is minimum. I mean, I think it turned into that. It was just kind of like, okay, I really don't know why I'm here. So it turned into, again, you know, I wasn't all into it. It's where my heart was. I just wasn't into it.
But what was funny, like, as a producer, like, they do the editing on Garage, like, they do all the other stuff. Really, we just had you in there to, like, make sure that the laptop didn't die. Like, I don't even know, like, like, the producer part of your title was not an appropriate title to have, I'd say. You were more of just, like, the guy that was ready to help when conversation was lulled.
Yeah. And even then, you guys always had your the way that you were going to direct a conversation or a topic. So it was kind of, it was even less that. It was more, I mean, I think the biggest thing was always just me sitting there listening, making sure that the heater wasn't on or something. That was my biggest role. So
is that our fault for, like, not giving you a defined role right away? Or did you like that you didn't have a role? And then you were like, okay, now I got to create opportunities type thing.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I think in any time, you know, so you give someone responsibility, you delegate a task to someone, I think they step up, you feel a purpose. I think that was, and just in general, I mean, that's where my, you know, it was a lack of really a role. It was really a lack of, not to say that was a failure on your ends, but that, I mean, that's just, you know, it was young. It was, I mean, there was no defined way of how you guys were going to do this, how we were going to do this. So, I mean, just the kind of way it ended up, I mean, in no, like, ill-mannered way, but it was the way it was.
So that's a great transition to kind of something I wanted to touch on real quick. What you've been one of the closest people to this podcast since day one.
Absolutely.
Since its birth.
If not the closest.
If not the closest. And I think we need to talk about that a little bit. Just a quick reflection on your end on the growth that you've seen of the podcast and then how it's kind of taken a part in your life.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think backtracking to what you talked about in terms of, you know, you'd do this, you do 3 hours of, like, recording and then chop it down. Like, the hours that you spent, I think you guys have become way more effective in time. Like, you're using your time way more effectively. I think that's a non-negotiable. That's the biggest part of growth, I think. In general, I mean, not only the fact that the snowball is gone. I mean, you know, like, that's, and that's why when going back to my role, it's like we were worrying about sound with this thing. It's just like, that was the biggest thing. But
it just captures everything. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. But, and I think one of the largest aspects was for you to, I think with school, with job searching at the time, there was just a lot of other things taking away from the podcast. Whether it be relationships, whether it be, again, job searching. So coming together, now that you guys are actually living together, now that it's kind of a more, you know, work come home podcast, you know, no homework kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, again, allowed you for a great amount of opportunity to build and grow. The commitment has obviously skyrocketed because of all that. So it's, I mean, you guys are loving the process. It's nothing about what, I think there's minimum talk about where you really want to get this in terms of, like, rather than focusing, you guys know where you are right now. That's where you're focusing on. That's what you enjoy to do. There's no, you know, it's not, we're in this for something. You're in this simply for to be in it. And then, you know, that something's going to come from it.
Mm-hmm. Right on. I appreciate that. And I really, going back to you being the first drink producer, I don't know if you remember, but I texted you after Deck and I did this the first time. Like, we recorded ourselves, just Deck and I, and it wasn't very good. Like, I listened to it and I was like, I don't know what we're going to take from this.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I don't know if it was having another person in the room or, like, someone overseeing us, and or if it was just having you in the room in particular. We definitely, there was a different feel after the first time we recorded versus the first time you were in the building. And I truly appreciated you, like, making time for us in the beginning, even though your role really wasn't that significant. Honestly, you probably don't know, you didn't have any, like, tangible things that you took into the role of the podcast, but the impact you had, I want to say it was real. It was something that you made up. You, it felt more professional, and it made us elevate our game having another person in there and realizing, like, we need to start doing stuff on our own. Like, we can't just put something on you to, like, have to figure it out, because it was not that large of something. I don't know what I'm, if you know what I'm trying to say, Declan. Like, it wasn't like something that needed to be done. We needed to have to figure the next thing out, and we were trying to delegate things off, and then we were figuring stuff. That's,
I think, with
broadly
how,
saying,
yeah, yeah, there was so much unknown in what we wanted to accomplish and what the goal was, that it was hard to even delegate.
Yeah,
if you think about, like, a producer now, if we were to have a producer, yeah, we have action items for a potential full-time producer, you know. Mm-hmm. That could be something easy to delegate. But when you have no idea, you know, what was going on, like, what we were doing in the first couple weeks of the podcast, it's hard to even do anything.
Yeah. And I just want to say thank you. That was more of what the spiel was. Thank you.
Yeah.
But trapping the puck and getting more onto you, because that's why you're here. And we really appreciate you coming in. You're the 12th marketing intern spotlight. And these are something that we really cherish, having these 30-minute conversations, because we're talking to our listeners, talking to our marketing interns, and discovering how they perceive their role in their profession, in their industry. And they all have those innate qualities of being an entrepreneur, a motivator, and an influencer. So to help our marketing interns a little bit, what are you up to now postgraduate?
Postgraduate, baby. Yeah, I mean, out in the real world, I think there's a stigma that being out in the real world is sucks, and I just want to shoot that down right away, first thing off the bat, because it's awesome. I think being out and having, like, you have a career now. Like, having a career is something that you can work towards every single day that you wake up. I find it so much easier to wake up in the morning and get out of bed compared to, really, I mean, going to class. I mean, that's just reality. That's just not the person I am. That's not where my eggs are. So
you and I shared major, so we were in class every day together the past 3 semesters, I'd say. Almost every single class we were together. So we know how we work in class.
Exactly.
You needed to graduate. So, you were ready for it.
I needed to graduate. So now that I graduated, I'm out in a account managing position, which covers sales and consulting for a nutraceutical company, which is a natural medicine company called Way Laboratories. So it's been an awesome opportunity. I've loved every second of it. Loved every second of having to wake up and go to work and having a role. I mean, my role in the company is really, you know, say to yourself, you're kind of your own CEO in the way of, you have your accounts, you grow them. Your business does as well as you put into it, the work that you put into it. And I think that's the coolest thing. I mean, going into what really makes what I feel makes me successful is, I mean, hyper competitive and sales and competitive nature in sales is almost, you need it. It's non-negotiable because, I mean, there's qualities that I know that I've pulled. I know we allude to the football program quite a bit. And yeah, just traits that you get from that, from hard work, work ethic, you know, the no woe is me, just get to the grindstone and work. Also my parents, I mean, the fortune that I've had for amazing parents to instill a work ethic in me has been a true blessing. So yeah, that, I mean, that's what I've been up to, grinding, trying to build my career, loving every second of it. Mm.
I think you, one thing you mentioned early on was the real world and how like it doesn't suck and it's perceived as this like bigger thing that everyone makes out to be like that's scary. And Andrew and I had this conversation not too long ago about the real world and how it's really not, there's no such thing as like the real world. It's just your life and it's a different stage of your life. And you know, if you love school, you know, that's a great part of your life that you dominate. But if you don't, that doesn't mean your life's over. That doesn't mean you can't succeed into the next thing that you do. I think that's a great, you're a great example of that. Because there's so many people out there that don't like going to class and don't see a purpose in that. But the second you give them like a task or some sort of thing to manage, sell, etc., they dominate. And so you're crushing it right now. I'm super stoked about that. We got to get to your average quality though. You know, what things are you struggling with nowadays? What is your shortcoming right now? And how are you conquering it? What's your average quality, Steve?
Yeah. Again, I'm going to go back to what we were talking about briefly before this, before the mics even got set, and how, again, you guys started this thing as we're wildly average. And it has become into so much more of a, we have a lot of room to grow. We have a lot of opportunities in our lives and things in our lives that we can grow and build on and improve upon. And so when I was thinking about that, my patience is going to be something that comes to mind each and every time that I think about something that I need to work on and improve on. And I'm just not happy with where I'm at in it. The patience goes into so many aspects of my life. Whether it be, watching the Packers today and just not being satisfied with where the Packers organization is at. Whether it be, even before when I, fishing and hunting, like I could never do that before with my patience, but I'm working on it. I enjoy fishing now. So we're building. Patience in reading. I know reading is something because my patience is limited in terms of, I'm not going to read a page that, you know, that how much can I really get out of this one page and it's going to take me 2 minutes. Again, something I need to grow on. So a lot of patience, man. It goes in a lot of aspects. It also moves into an area of expectations. I have ridiculously high expectations for myself. And when I know that those are set, I have a difficult time being in the moment. And so that's where patience comes into play.
I just want to make note that you're crushing it with your patience right now. And I think Declan also mentioned this off air, the calmingness in your voice. Like I get way too excited when it's my turn to talk and I struggle with like getting my point across because I'm just ready to talk so fast and I want to get to my point so quick. But I know our marketing interns, probably not all of them know you, and that your pitch, your tone right now it's pretty cool. And it's not all the time that friends can talk in this type of setting when it's just very casual and just talking about their core qualities. Mm-hmm. And I just really appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thank you very much, and I really appreciate it. I mean, again, I'm gonna look for an opportunity ways, and I knew this was something that my job is literally being on the phone for hours a day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that has improved it a lot, eliminating filler words, just being comfortable on the phone. I mean,
and being patient with customers.
It's a real skill. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a real skill. And so communication skills was always something that I had a very difficult time with. I had a stuttering disability when I was younger. So I like went to speech class and everything. So communications was a part where I needed to grow a lot. And the St. Thomas football program, again, was something that built my communication. My role in FCA at school was something that helped me grow my communication skills. And then this job is even something that's continuing to grow it. So
soothing.
Cool. Soothing. Absolutely. Soothing. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned that. And I want to talk about you transitioning with St. Thomas football, being an absolute stud on St. Thomas football's program, and then taking that to a real world job, your job now. What were some of the things that you really took away from that program outside? You already mentioned communications, but I was curious if there was anything else with that.
Mm-hmm. Again, I like to revert to just sheer motivation and what I do, why I do it. There's a lot of people. I mean, sales is a very goal-oriented thing. I mean, it's a numbers, results-oriented thing. And so when thinking about that and going to my experience with the St. Thomas football program and really how to attain success, it's to really put in the forefront of work. We started out with certain accounts that, again, you have to spend time, you have to build certain things. And a lot of times our sales manager would say, don't just try and hit your sales goal this first month. Take time, build these accounts for the long term. And so that's really the biggest thing is, in terms of success, everyone, it's a common human nature to want instant gratification, instant success. So again, going back to the patients and is something that I really want to continue to work on, and something that I know I'm working to improve every single day. And again, the war of attrition, that's something from the St. Thomas football program, which, I just want to wake up throughout the day, go to bed, and I just want to hit my head knowing that I got a little bit better in something, whether that been, and I want to do it in a bunch of aspects of my, in terms of, being the best friend I can be, being the best, brother, son. Just there's going to be a lot of aspects, and that's something that I took from Cruz, so that's always going to run through my veins, is just trying to get a little bit better each and every single day.
I think focusing on your process too goes hand in hand with that. Mm-hmm. And we had debated results versus process on this podcast. When was it? That was a couple podcasts.
29. Yeah, season 2, 29. Yeah.
There you go. And it was interesting because, it can be a debate, results versus process, but really you got to have both of those mindsets within your own life. And it's like for you, you're in sales and it's very results oriented, but you got to have a process of with that war of attrition, trying to get better like every single day. It's not easy doing that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I guess have you had a lot of, or felt any pushback, or have you struggled at all with, kind of getting thrown into this sales position right away? Is there any times where things got tough?
Well, yeah. I mean, to begin with everything, I mean, you're coming in and you're not going to be getting the accounts are lost, ones that haven't ordered in months a lot of times. So it's you're put into a position not really to succeed. Okay. That's just reality. Now, to counter that, you have managers, you have meetings, you have trainings. There's a lot of things and a lot of resources to grow yourself. And that's the biggest thing that I know I see in myself is really asking questions. That's the biggest part of sales. And not only that, but also in terms of to grow, asking questions to upper management, more veteran salespeople in the office, always looking to get better. I know there's people that will continue to just be satisfied with where they are and think that they're going to be able to get it done themselves. And I think there's a lot of humility that comes from that and saying, hey, getting help is not something to be frowned upon. Seeking help, especially when you're starting out with something or just when you say, dude, I can't do this on my own. I mean, I've come to that a few times in my life where you just need some help. And I think it's a definitely a characteristic that will continue to propel me to succeed in life. I know there's a lot, especially with friends, we all have such different aspects. We all have such different blessings that we have and attain. So seeking advice, seeking help from everyone that you possibly can. And that's encompasses a lot of what this, what the podcast has become. So
mm-hmm. Always being willing to learn. And it's not easy necessarily to be, have that mindset of saying, oh, I don't know the answer, and I don't feel like I can get to that answer without help, and it's sometimes very difficult to ask for help. What were some of the things that those veteran salespeople were saying? Because I know there's probably salespeople listening or just people that could use an attribute to have that kind of like, not a swagger, but something, it's a confidence almost when you're talking on the line with someone or in front of someone in a meeting and you need to be able to deliver a message. What were some of those veteran advice qualities that they were passing along to you, mm-hmm. if you'd like to share?
It's literally formulating questions. It's basically we always think in the common thought of when you think of a salesperson, you think of people that are, oh, you're born to be a salesperson. That's completely false at this point that I've learned. Sales is literally 20% you listen, 80% they should be talking, which is completely the other way around of what I thought. You know, when you think of someone, oh, they have a great sales pitch. It's them, just them talking the entire time. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is simply finding out that you're problem solving. That's what sales really is, because you have a solution. You have to find what problem there is to answer that with a solution that you can provide. So it's continuing to listen and ask questions. I know that sounds so simplistic, and it's a simplistic way to put it, but that's just the reality of what it really is. And creating questions that are really good is actually, it's very difficult. You have to ask the right questions, because then you'll get the right answers. You can ask a ton of questions, but you might not get the right answer because it wasn't the right question. So that's kind of the biggest thing is continuing to build a bank, a question bank in your head of, you know, how can you really dig into someone's brain and make them realize that they have a problem?
So. And they probably do. I mean, it seems like an authentic approach, because a lot of the times, you know, you can have that question bank, but you don't build that question bank unless you listen. Mm-hmm. And listening is so important. And I did not realize how important it was until we really started diving in on this podcast and understanding the best conversations, the best product we put out was not from Andrew and I doing hours and hours and hours of research. Like, that stuff is helpful, but being in the present moment and actually listening was what actually made that product golden.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to your point, listening to the point, and we don't necessarily are trying to find a problem, but we're trying to find that right response. Mm-hmm. So we want to ask a question that sparks kind of like a way and a mindset for our interviewees to go down that route that we're kind of pushing them towards, but we have to figure out what the right questions are. And I'm so happy you said that, because that's something like you said it's simplistic, but not a lot of people are aware of how simplistic that is. Mm-hmm. And how not easy, but just anyone can do that. It's mm-hmm. it's something everyone's capable of doing. It's mm-hmm. listening and asking questions to uncover something. And the start of this, it was like minute 8 or something, and I was talking and I really was like, what was I trying to get at? And I should have been coming back to you, like, what you sparked something really cool in my head, but I lost it while I was talking. I lacked the listening, and I just want to recognize that. I apologize, because I wanted to say the impact that you had on us early on was much more than you actually thought. Mm-hmm. And that was what the majority of my point that I wanted to get across was, the impact that you and Mark and Greg and all the other people that had surrounded us in the very beginning was incredible. Like, I cannot thank you guys enough. Yeah. For the positive support that you guys always gave us during times when we were just knuckleheads just trying to do something fun. And then when we turned it into even more, we tried to continue to push forward. Like, that whole time, that was my point I wanted to make at minute 10, was your impact on this is much more than you actually think. And the shirts that we finally got, finally returning the favor of you helping us with the party that we threw that funded us for the next 6 months. Like, you guys don't realize how important that party was for yeah. our success going down the future. And we promised you guys gear that we were going to eventually get, and it took us 9-8 months to get that back. But we never, every single day, we're like, how can we figure out how to get shirts to get these guys back yeah. what they helped us get? Because thank you, Steve. Honestly, dude, thank you.
You're welcome. And of course, it's the least and it's the most expected thing. You know, again, with the quality of friends that we have and we are to each other, nothing more is expected of that, you know, than from us. And, you know, we never once doubted that you guys would do that for mm-hmm. us, you know, in return. So, I want to go back to your point. I'm trying to think of again what it was. So when you think of the impact that you have on people, you said, you know, I really didn't know the measure, or even with Greg and Mark and the measure that you really have on the impact of people. And I think that's an important thing that a lot of people should take. And I know you guys, in terms of golden nuggets, I mean, that's really something that people should really take away, because, I mean, I don't know, there's other aspects. I know, and even with the assignment in leadership management with asking people about leadership traits to, you know, so rather than friends and teammates and stuff. And people will say stuff and bring out stuff about, you know, your leadership that you just don't realize, you never even thought was like a trait that was looked highly upon. And it's all around you. The impact that you leave on people is all around you. Whether you see it or not, you probably won't. There's going to be rare times that people will be able to come up to you and just say, wow, you really impacted me. But it is huge. You have a lot of impact on each and every person that you come in contact with each and every day. The people that you work with, people that you spend the most amount of time with. So that's really something to treasure.
It's crazy to even think about, because, yeah, Andrew and I, really the only feedback we would get, and we get consistently, is, you know, a friend or one of you guys texting us saying like, hey, that was sick, I liked that interview, or, you know, I really liked what you guys did here, or Andrew's dad always hitting us up about stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Those are the kind of the consistencies we get. But you're right, I mean, there are for sure people out there that just don't voice that to us, and it's not their fault. Like, that's not their job to voice that stuff to us. But it's really cool to hear, you know, like, there is an impact on a greater scale that what we're doing that we don't necessarily see every day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's every single person too. Like you mentioned, like, it, you're going to the bathroom at work and you stop for a second and you say hi to someone, ask one question, whether it's about work or not. Mm. And their mood could be uplifted. It could be stagnant, but it could be uplifted later. They could realize something. You don't know. Like, just taking time out of your day. And that's a great golden nugget. The two golden nuggets right away that I took were asking questions, the 20% rule in sales. I mean, we're not a sales guru or anything, but I will keep that in my back pocket forever. 20% listening, or 20% speaking, 80% listening. It's so important, and it's involved in every attribute you do, not just sales.
Mm-hmm. I think sales is also like you said, like, learning how to have a conversation, and sales is involved in everything you do. You know, I don't care if you're an engineer, like, we're podcasters, we have to sell our product and our belief, our brand, to other people so that they could follow us or mm-hmm. give us a listen. That's
one piece of advice that we got, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we were told to sell ourselves. Like, people buy from people. And has that been kind of the mantra that you've seen a successful trail? Like, when you get on a call or you are in front of another person and you have that personality, that approachable relatability personality, it's easier to close on a deal rather than talking about products and, like, the actual credibility of your brand. Has that been translated into way products, or not necessarily? Because it's a strain, it's a different industry.
It's tough. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, this is inside. So with inside sales, being over the phone, it's a lot different than when you're outside and actually personable with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship selling is definitely a lot more apparent in outside sales, of course. You're person to person. Chances are you're going to be going out to, you know, get a bite to eat with them. And so you're going to buy from someone that you like, right? I mean, that's just a reality. It's mm-hmm. someone that you're more close with. And that's the biggest thing. I know for me, I'm a relationship type oriented type guy on the phone. I like to build a relationship with each person, you know, really learning about someone's situation and caring and being empathetic for people that, you know, the people that I deal with are always their last resort patients that come to us with chronic issues that, you know, 4 or 5 months from now, they might not be here. I mean, that's just like, it's an interesting, very interesting position that I did not really know that I would be in. But yeah, really selling getting to know someone. Again, if you're on the phone call for 15 minutes and all you tried to do was sell them on a product, I mean, you're not going to, unless this person just doesn't even care and they were going to buy regardless. I mean, it's so tough. Relationships and sales is huge. I definitely say that. I can't wait to get to outside sales one day because I am way more relationship oriented. Selling a product, again, there's never really selling a product. It's, again, solving a problem. You're looking for someone that, again, whether it be someone that needs motivation, needs something, what are you selling? You're selling them golden nuggets, information on how to improve yourself and get better each and every day. So how do you figure out a way and a voice that someone maybe, you know, needs something more? That's the difficult part of sales. It really is. It's an art that, no one is born with it. It's not an innate ability. You got to learn it. You can get way better. You can take anyone that can Even if someone that stutters a lot, someone that doesn't really know how to hold a conversation, you can train them into a great salesperson by simply training them how to ask the right questions and how to solve a problem in someone.
Thank you.
Love that, dude. Yep. That's so nuts. It's kind of crazy, too, because like the entrepreneurship standpoint that we attack it from, it's like you really do have to sell yourself because, you know, our platform and our brand and everything is all built from us. You know, like when someone hears the back pocket, they think of Andrew and Declan. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to sort of sell ourselves, because our product is stuff that anybody can do. Anybody can start a podcast. Anyone can sell t-shirts. Anyone can have conversations. But, you know, your commitment to the production of all that and the message and all that stuff is what makes you who you are. And it's cool to hear the other side of it too, because like you're going to people when I didn't even realize this, like at last resort people, like that you're like legit changing lives mm-hmm. with every sale, which is super cool. Like that is a cool product to sell, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really want to be selling like paper or staplers or like, you know, stuff that people could go and get wherever, knives. You know what I'm saying?
It's a job.
Yeah. It's a job. Yeah, you gotta learn how to sell those things. But you're selling something.
Insurance.
Insurance, dude. We could go down the paper trail. Like there's so many things mm-hmm. that people sell that just are. I don't know. It's not as cool as what you're doing. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you saved me. I need marketing interns to know that. They know that because I've talked about it with every health person that's come on the show. Can you cure me of my acid reflux? And
Steve did.
He gave me three products from Way, and my acid reflux is gone.
No, wait. Can we plug your company real quick? Because they're pretty freaking cool. Yeah, what's the name of them?
Absolutely. Way Laboratories. W-E-I, not W-H-E-Y, as in protein. I get that a lot. Mm-hmm.
W-E-I.
Laboratories.
Way. Laboratories.
Okay. Right on. I like that. In the show notes, you'll see it there.
Mm-hmm. But kind of transitioning towards the last question, because it looks like we're wrapping up on time here. This is a simple question. You know the drill, man. Every person gets asked this question. What did you learn today from the moment you woke up to when we're having this conversation today? And it can't be about the Packers. About the Packers. Unless it is.
I learned, I'd say truly, how much I miss and how much I really have lost out on spending time with you guys in terms of the podcast. All I can think about right now is back in the 2118.
Yeah. Washington
room, 1.0. The Washington Capitol, dude. That's all I can think about right now from the moment it started, from the conversation that we had, like, just in terms of like first recording yourselves. And then I remember getting the text later that night or something like that. It was Andrew, you know, hey dude, we'd really love if you'd be our producer. And so that's what I learned. How much I really missed you guys. I mean, it's been awesome to just, it is, it's an organic talk of conversation between friends. I mean, it's, again, it's something that even when we were talking about when, like me, Greg and Maddie C were over at Nico's Tacos and we didn't get our tacos for like 50 minutes. It was an awesome opportunity for us to just talk and learn, you know, learn about each other's lives again, just getting really, it's that quality times with friends, which is just so overlooked, I think, when with phones, with all, everything else in the world that's going on, again, it could have been instant gratification. We were just wanting to get there, get our tacos and leave. But it's finding opportunity, everything that you are presented with. And that's what this podcast has encompassed. And so I learned how much I really missed it.
Right on.